All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. What a great day it is.
Yes.
This is the best day.
Yes, it is.
And thank you, Father, it is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. So we just receive it. And we thank you for it, and we thank you that this is our brother we're sharing, both of them, Lord, that this is our intimacy with you. It's amazing that God, who created the heavens and the earth, who created us, he likes us. And he loves us, despite the fact that we rebelled and did all the things we did and that we're still doing. You love us. And you're working in us every single day. You began a work in us by faith, and you just continue to do it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we have nothing to worry about. We have nothing to sweat about. We are totally free. And Jesus, whom the Son has set free, is free indeed. So we have no worries, none, not one worry, not one concern, not one anything. Because we're not under any law.
Yes.
We're not under any obligations to be anything. We're not sweating. We're just trusting in the Lord. Blessed is a man, happy is the man who trusts in the Lord. So we just trust in you, God, that you're taking care of everything. And we just keep our eyes completely focused on you. You are the author and the finisher of our faith.
Yes.
And that's the only thing that matters. And so we thank you for that, Father, and we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God is good. Well, I took Jim, I was telling him earlier, I took Jim and Peggy to the airport yesterday. This was quite an ordeal. I just think when you get old, you just, I don't know. It's just funny. But anyway, I think they're doing really well. And as me and Jim, you know how Jim is? When you meet him, he never says, hi, how you doing, or anything like that. He just immediately starts teaching. At least as he is with me, he'll come up and go, praise the Lord. And then he'll start teaching something. So yesterday, his thing was, he was telling me some things that God showed him that morning, and Peggy was on the phone trying to find out the gate, you know, so I could drop him off the gate number or whatever it's called. So Jim started whispering. But the thing we talked about, and the thing that God has really been talking to me also, it was basically the same thing that he shared with God was sharing with Jim, God was sharing with me. It was just a little different. In the context of it, I was reading about how, because I was asking the Lord about these, and what you shared was perfect, because that's what God's doing in these days. There's a kingdom. God's only agenda is not political. It's not anything like that. God's agenda for his bride is the kingdom of God. When Jesus came, he began to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And then he went around and preached the gospel of the kingdom, or the kingdom of heaven, or it's also called the kingdom of God. It kind of uses that interchangeably. But that kingdom involves, that we're in, is everything. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all his things shall be added unto you. So the kingdom of God and his righteousness is Jesus. Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. It's amazing that in these kingdoms of the world, if you noticed, let's say you tried to if you just called Donald Trump you couldn't just call him. But you can't. In the kingdoms of the world, you can't just go to the head guy, because he's the head guy. So you have secretaries, and you have these people, and that you have body, even pastors. I had a friend of mine, or a guy I knew, that became a big wig kind of pastor of a big, huge church. And I was listening to his testimony, one of his testimony, and he quit this one church because they gave him all this stuff, and then he even had bodyguards. So you couldn't get to the guy to even talk to him. Oh, wow. If you wanted to talk to him. But God's kingdom's not like that. You can just come boldly to the throne of grace anytime you want to receive mercy and grace. Help. And he's the head guy too. Jesus is he's the head of the church. He's the head of his kingdom. And so you can just go right straight into the throne, like you were saying, just straight to the God who created all things, the King of Kings, Lord, and just talk to him and have fellowship with him and love him, and he loves you, and you can just have intimacy with him anytime you want. Just like a little kid, you know, Titus, my little son that's here somewhere, I don't even know where he went, but is he with somebody? Yeah. Does he have adult supervision? Does he have some kind of supervision? Yeah. But anyway, so God is, that's his agenda. That's his only agenda. He has one agenda, the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And there's tons of scriptures on the kingdom. Even the Old Testament, New Testament, all talks about God's kingdom, God's kingdom, God's kingdom. In the epistles, Paul talked about it. Jesus always talked about, I must go to this city or that city and preach the kingdom. So he's always preaching the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And so this gospel of the kingdom, in Romans chapter 12, I think it's verse 17, it says that the kingdom of God is not meat or drink. It's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. So this kingdom is not of this world. And it doesn't come by observation. Remember when Jesus was talking to Pilate? He said, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would come and then they would rescue me and you'd be done and all that. But it's not time for that yet. But nonetheless, the kingdom is here. And it came with Jesus. It actually came before that. But when it came, the other kingdoms are done. The old regime, the old Jewish thing is done. It faded away. It's gone. It no longer exists. It's not even a real thing anymore. The thing that's real, the reality for us is Jesus. The reality for us is that we have a kingdom and we have a God. And we are kings and priests in that kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Which it might not look like it. I mean, look at all of us. We don't look like kings. We don't look like priests, but we are. And one day, soon, we believe, as all of us do, because the Bible says that Jesus is coming quickly. So when Jesus comes back, we'll all rule and reign with him. And we'll be seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Not just we are right now, but we actually will be seated at the right hand of God. And when the white throne judgment comes, we'll be seated at the right hand of God. And it'll be awesome. And we'll rule. And the wicked will never rule again. And the kingdoms of this world will be totally destroyed. All of them. The beast, the antichrist, the false prophet, the whore. All of it will be gone. And all that will be left is righteousness. And you'll look and you'll, just like the Bible says, we'll all look and we'll go, what happened? It'll be quick. I'm telling you, it's going to be quick. It won't be like you think. Whatever you think about the end times, it's going to be it'll be totally different. Because you have to read the whole Bible to figure all that out. But anyway, today we're talking about the kingdom. And turn to Matthew chapter 22, verse 1. Well, first, actually, I want to read out of Luke a little bit. Luke chapter 12, it's that same verse that's in Matthew 6:33. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. That's your only, as a matter of fact, because that's God's only agenda, that's your only agenda. Your only agenda in life. You have no other agenda. You have no other, I don't care what you think. Your only thing in life is to seek first the kingdom of God. And all that other stuff will be added to you. Jobs, a good marriage, all those things that we think we need and want. Those things are added to you just for fun, just because God loves you and he'll take care of everything. But it's a hard thing to do because we want to be in control. We want to make things happen. We want to do this. We want to do that. We want to do all these things. But and what I've noticed about my life as I get older is I care less. Doesn't mean I'm careless. It just means I care less. I don't care about my life. I don't care about anything. Because all my care, all I do is just, my whole life is just wrapped up in this kingdom and in this Jesus. And his kingdom has no end. It's unshakable. Every kingdom in this earth, including the United States, is built on sand, shifting sand. It'll shift. It won't last forever and ever. It's not eternal. The thing, it doesn't mean we don't influence it and stuff like that, but still, yet that kingdom will end. But this kingdom has no end, none. It's solid. You can stand on it. It's unchangeable. It's immutable. It won't vary. God's the same. Jesus is the same today, yesterday. He's the same forever. It's not going to change. What was good 6,000 years ago is the same. Nothing's the same. There's nothing new under the sun. Everything's exactly the same. It might seem like stuff's different, but it's not. It's the same old sin. The thing with the homosexuals and all that, that's old. That's Babylon. That's from the beginning. It's nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing, 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 nothing. All sin is exactly the same as it was, and everything's the same. It's a blessing to know that God is that solid, and he's stable, and he never changes his mind. He loves you, he loves you, he loves you. He won't change his mind, ever. You know, I love, he says, I love Alex, and he will never change his mind. It's already done. So the kingdom that we are a part of is unchangeable. And God took you out of another kingdom. There's kingdoms, but there's another kingdom in this world. There's really only two kingdoms, but the devil's kingdom is all, you know, there's different stuff. But basically, there's two kingdoms. And God translated you out of the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of his dear son. So you are no longer a part of this world, this system. You are totally new. You have been made. You are a new creation. That means that you are something new that has never been before. Never. Not in the Old Testament, not David, not Moses, not anybody. You are a new creation. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, when he talked about John the Baptist, he said John the Baptist was the greatest prophet, but he was least me. I'm greater than John the Baptist. You're greater than John the Baptist. Those at least in the kingdom of God are greater. Why? Because you have Jesus. Because this is a new kingdom. This is totally different. It's not like I said, it's not like the old regime. It's not like the old covenant. This is a whole new thing. Your righteousness, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, righteousness is not your righteousness. That righteousness is talking about is his righteousness, was he gave you for free, for nothing. It's borrowed from him. And he's the King of kings and lords. His kingdom. I don't know if you really understand that the King of this world, the King of kings and Lord of lords, Jesus himself is our King, but he's our friend.
Amen.
He's our Father. He's our Counselor. He's our everything. So that's why when the Bible says God shall supply all my needs, he supplies our needs through Jesus Christ. It's not like he supplies your needs apart from him. He gives you himself. God actually gives you himself. So if you have Jesus, you have God himself in your life, or you've received him, he lives in you, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's all you need. That's all your needs. All your needs are met in that. It's not like God, you know, you need $5 and God sends you $5. No, he's everything. I mean, he's everything. He's all your finances. He's your marriage. He's your, because if you look at Jesus, all of his names, he's your healer. He's your comforter. Everything that the Bible gives Jesus a name for, that's what he is. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. He's your Master. He's your, you know, just whatever word you can think of, that's what Jesus is. So just, that's all your needs met. That's why my wife doesn't meet my needs. Jesus meets my needs. He meets all your emotional needs, your physical needs. He's the King. No, there's no king like that. There's no king in the world that's like that. You can just go right boldly to the throne of grace, to his throne. Boldly to the throne of grace, receive mercy and grace, help in time of need. Right in the midst of your sin, right in the midst of your lusting, right in the midst of your fear, right in the midst of your doubt and unbelief right in the midst of everything. And as you mature in the Lord, you learn that really quickly. When you're a baby Christian, you're ashamed, so you don't go to the Lord, or you feel condemnation or something like that, so you're not going to go directly. You're going to kind of, you know, oh gosh, I sinned. I better give it a couple of days for it, you know, really, or something. So God's not quite so mad or whatever we think. That's not good. It's better just to go directly in, just like you are mad, whatever. And that's the way to do it. That way everything's over quickly. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts quick and it's done. And I love that. I love that about God. And I'm like that, I noticed. But sometimes I have to bite my tongue because I'm too, I don't know. I like things to be just out in the open. Right, Leah? That's the way I like things. I like to, if I have a problem with somebody, I want to go, you know, I want to get it, whatever it is, let's just, you know, cut to the chase. Let's just get to it. Let's don't beat around the bush. You know, you hate me? Yes. Okay. That's all I want to know. You know, I don't want all the other stuff, you know. So when I repent, I'm like that too with the Lord. I'm like, God, I did to this person because I hated him and I despised him. And I repent. I don't ever say, well, it was their fault. Or I don't ever try to justify my sin or think it's somebody else. Or imagine that it wasn't my fault. Ever. You know, I do the same thing with my kids. When they do bad, I say what it is. I don't, well, you did that because you're tired. Or you did that because you didn't eat today. Or you did that because whatever. No, it's just flesh. It's just sin. It's just wicked and evil and demonic. It's either this or that. It's black and white. It's not something in between. That's the way life is. And that, man, it's a great way to live. That way you're not confused. There's no ambiguity about anything. Everything's very clear. And the Bible is like that too. I love the Bible because it's so clear about everything. Everything is brought down to the simplicity. You either live in law or you live in gospel. You're living for the devil or you're living for God. You either think like God thinks or you think like the devil thinks. I mean, it's just all, to me, everything's just so clear. That way my life is very simple. And when I'm wicked, I'm wicked. And when I'm evil, I'm evil. When I'm godly, I'm godly. I mean, it's just the way it is. There's no, the truth is the truth. And as Christians, we walk in love. But you still, the truth sets you free. Love will not set you free. Truth will set you free. Love will attract you, and love, God loves us, but he wants us also, he loves us so much, he wants us to know the truth. Same with us and our kids. I love my kids, but I want them to know the truth. If they're doing wrong, then they're going to hear about it, you know, or be corrected for it or whatever, but that doesn't mean I don't love them. Same with God. He only chastens those he loves. The world's not being chastened right now. It might look like it, kind of, but the world's not being chastened. This is the age of the Gentiles, the world. It's the church that's being chastened. It's our job. I mean, it's our protocol. It's what's going on right now. We're the ones that are being judged. The judgment begins at the house of the Lord. So the church is being judged, so that we won't be judged with the world. You don't want to be judged with the world, right? Have you read the book of Revelations? You don't want to be judged with the world. Because the world is... And we've already escaped the wrath. There's no wrath for us, because the Bible says Jesus took care of that on the cross. Okay? So, where was I? Luke? Luke chapter 12, verse... starting 30. Well, it's 29. He's talking about the Gentiles, what they seek. They seek clothing and stuff, you know, all kinds of stuff. Clothes and food and place to live and jobs and da-da-da. But in verse 29 it says, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you need these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. So you don't have to worry about it. Everybody say, I don't have to worry about it. So you don't have to worry about anything. Even though you will, but you can always repent and change your mind. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock. That's you. See, that's me. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So the kingdom is not something you earn, something you have inherited through your denomination or inherited through your family history or something like that. No, the kingdom is just given to you for free, for nothing. You could be a prostitute. You could be a drug addict. You could be anything. And God just gives it to you for free. You can be anything. Hypocrite, liar. You can be fearful. You can be depressed. You can be whatever. But God just gives it to you for free. And that's good news. That should be good news to all of us. But it is good news. To me, it's good news that the way I was and the way I am, and God just gave it to me for free. And then he had, not only did he give me the kingdom, but then he gave, inside that kingdom are all these promises so that I don't have to worry. I don't have to be stressed. I don't have to be fearful. I don't have to be depressed. I don't have to be anything. I don't have to take any medication. I don't have to do anything. Because I know that God's going to take care of me. I know God's going to take care of my kids because he promised in the Bible. So I never worry about my kids. And if I do, I repent quickly because God made a promise in his Bible that my children will be taught the Lord and great will be their peace. And they're going to, and for, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and you shall be saved, you and your household. There's a lot of promises in the Bible about that. It says in the Bible that you'll, if you're old, like me, getting old, I'm almost 60, the Bible has a promise for that too. Says you'll bear fruit in old age, so I don't have to worry about getting old. I never worry about getting old. Sometimes my body hurts and I, you know, stuff like that, but so what? So I don't have to worry about, because I know I'm going to bear fruit in old age. I don't know how that works. I don't even think about it. Never worry about it, because by God, all I want to do, here's how faith comes in the kingdom. You just read it. You don't try to understand it, try to figure it out, or try to, you know, have some kind of something in yourself that's going to make you believe it or something like that, a promise. All you do is you're just reading the promises and then faith comes. It's just a free gift. You know, that way you're not sweating. You're not worried about it. You're not fearful. Oh gosh, I wish I just had more faith. That's not a good question or anything. You do have faith because God promised he would. He gave every man a measure of faith. Every man is a measure of faith. So you have faith. All you got to do is read the Bible. All you got to do is read the promises. And all the promises are yes and amen. There's a million promises in the Bible, a million. And in Peter it says that God has given us these exceedingly great and precious promises that by these you might be partakers of his divine nature. That's all you need. You don't need anything else. Kingdom of God, his divine nature, that's all you need. You don't need anything else. Simple. You got to break the Bible down into the very simplest. Because the kingdom of God, as a matter of fact, even the kingdom of God, when you read about the kingdom of God is the church. It's Zion. You know, let us go unto Zion. You know, it's all about. It's everything. So if you read those things in the Bible, the building that Jesus is building, that's the kingdom, and that's us. We're the building. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are the building that God's building. It's not a building like this building. It's a you. You're the building he's building. So all of us have a place in that building. We might be right next to each other, you know, or a brick, you know. So everybody has a place in that building. And no one's above anybody. Everybody's the same. Because we're all in Jesus. And Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the head guy. And you know him personally, then you're in. So you have nothing to worry. I'm telling you, you have nothing to worry about. All things work together for good. All things. Everything in your life is working together for good.
Praise the Lord.
Everything. Thanks be unto God who always leads me. Always leads me in triumph in Christ. Always. So you're always in victory. You're always blessed. Gosh, I almost sound like a faith teacher, but it is true. So you're always blessed. You're never worried, never fearful. You can go through anything. You can be chastised of the Lord. You can be corrected. You can be persecuted. Anything can go on, and you're still happy. Because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You're always happy. You're always full of joy. Doesn't mean you always are screaming and yelling and all that kind of stuff. It just means inside, you're never worried. There's never any fear. There's never any stress. There's never anything that's going to sway you. Because you know the truth, and the truth has set you free, and you are in a kingdom that is unshakable. Hebrews, you are in a kingdom that is unshakable. Everything in this world will be shaken, that can be shaken, and I want God to do it in my life. I tell God every day, God, do it in my life today. Yeah. I want my life to be shaken so that everything that's not of you, all my flesh, all my sin, everything will just be shaken to the core. Because the kingdom of God, it's a violent thing. When I got saved, it was violent. It wasn't like, I mean, I was one way one day, and violently I was transferred into the kingdom of God, and my life was over. I mean, literally, it was over. All my friends left, my girlfriend broke up with me, my family hated me, and I had no one. So it's violent. It's a violent thing, because I mean, it was joyous. It was awesome. I loved it. But it still was violent. Because now my life's over. The way I was going is, it's kind of a, I don't know how I can explain it, but it's kind of a violent thing. The kingdom of God suffers violent. The violent take it by force. And then I got baptized. And that was a big deal too. Because, you know, my family's all Catholic. So me being baptized, you're already baptized, you know. What? And then, you know, then I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that did something. And then I lost a bunch more friends. And then you just keep, as you go along, but you gain everything. You lose this world. You lose your life. That's what you're doing. You're losing your life for His. If you gain your life, then you're going to lose it. If you're trying to have a good marriage, you're trying hard to do this, you're trying hard to be successful, you're trying hard to be something, a minister, to bear fruit in this world or something like that, then you're going to miss it because that's your life. You're trying to do it. You're doing it. And it's not going to work. Just seek the kingdom of God. Just get to know Jesus. Just do what this brother does. Just spend time with Jesus. And all that'll come.
Hallelujah.
I don't know how it exactly works.
Amen.
But it works.
Amen.
You just do, because I am probably the worst, I know my wife might disagree with this, but in the natural, I'm probably the worst husband and the worst father ever. But I always go to Jesus, and that He has to do it, because I can't do it. I'm just not naturally, you know. Nobody is really, I guess. You're just not a good dad. You're just not a good husband. You're just not a good anything. Only God is good.
Right.
Only God. There is none other that is good, but God only is good. So if He's good, God's a good dad. He's a loving father. God is a good husband. God is a good everything. And I'm not. He's a good worker. Me, I'm naturally lazy and da-da-da, but God's not. He's diligent, He's a good steward, you know, He's all those things. God's all those things, and so I have to spend a lot of time with Jesus. I'm serious. I got to spend a lot of time with Jesus to make it through the day. Otherwise, I'll feel like I'm going to be killed or do something stupid, and, you know, I guess you all feel that way, but, or you do anyway. So anyway, that's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is what God's all about right now. There's nothing else. He's not into any of the social issues are useless. You know, the transvestite thing, all the things that are going on in the media and all that stuff. God's not into that. He's into you. He's into this kingdom. He's getting his kingdom prepared. So when he comes back, he'll have a people. That's all God wants. He wants a people. It's not God's will that any man perish, but all come to knowledge. And our job is to be salt and light. But I'm telling you, the way we've been doing it, it hasn't worked. Programs and trying to be something or do something, it just doesn't work. You can't work for God without God. You got to have him. You got to have God. You can't not have God. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But you cannot love your neighbor as yourself unless you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you know him, and you're led by the Spirit. You're either led by the Spirit or you're not. Remember what I was talking about earlier, is only everything's black and white. You're either led by the Spirit or you're led by your flesh. I mean, there's nothing in between. You can't almost be led by your Spirit and kind of led by the flesh. You can't do that. It's not going to work. So you're led by the Spirit or you're led by your flesh. So with your relationship with God, just keep spending time with Jesus. Eventually you'll bear fruit, if you're not already. As a matter of fact, you don't even know if you're bearing fruit or not. You shouldn't know. Why would you want to know? The Bible doesn't say you have to know. It just says, once you take your eyes off of Jesus, keep your eyes on Jesus, who's author and finisher of your faith. As I behold him, I am changed from glory to glory to glory to glory. And then the fruit is just a byproduct of your relationship with the Lord. That's it. And whatever God tells you to do, then you can do it. You can be happy about it. And you don't have any ownership in it. So there's no fear in it. There's no, oh my gosh, I got to get this done. How come people don't understand that God called me to do this and they're not helping me? You know, how that goes. But it's never like that. Because I spend a lot of time with Pastor Jim. It's kind of like Pastor Jim. He's like that. He just does his thing. He spends time, hours and hours praying and reading his Bible and stuff, and then he just does whatever he does, and somehow it bears fruit. I don't even know how it works, but it does. I see it. I can see the fruit in his ministry and all that. I mean, I don't think he can even see it most of the time, but I can see it. But I'm not looking at it. I don't even care about it. I'm just taking it all in and being discipled. And that's, if it produces something, I know it will, because God promised he's the sower. Only Jesus is sowing. Remember the parable about the sower? The sower went out to sow, and that sower was the Word of God. That was Jesus sowing all the seed. Some fell on stony ground. Some fell on amongst the weeds. You know, some fell in really shallow soil and all that. And then some fell on good soil. But you don't know. That's all Jesus' deal. Now, he's sowing through us because, you know, he uses people, but he's still the sower. He's the seed sower, not us. So, that takes a lot of pressure off me and takes a lot of pressure off of you. You don't have to do anything. Without him, you can do nothing anyway, so why would you want to do something without him? Without him, you can do nothing. Nothing. That's kingdom. You can build a bridge or make a chair or something like that, but you can't do any kingdom stuff without Jesus. Only God can do God's stuff. You can't do God's stuff with your own juices and your own flesh and your own thing. It all comes from Jesus. So I never worry. So don't worry about it. I mean, don't worry about whether you're doing right or you're doing wrong or you're not hearing God or you're not doing his will or whatever. Those things are. That's a waste of time. Just spend time with Jesus, and then you, as you're reading the Bible, it'll tell you exactly what God's will is. This is God's will, your sanctification. This is God's will, you abstain from this and this and this. This is God's will that you know. And then it all says it right in there in the Bible, plain as day. It's not, this is God's will that you go to Africa. This is God's will that you marry this person or all, you know, that kind of stuff. No, you just got to get the other stuff first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all that stuff will be added to you. And you young people, the same thing. Just seek first the kingdom of God. All your jobs, all your relationships, all your everything will be taken care of. That way you don't have to worry about it. I never worry about. I have a really good friend. You guys might know him, Larry, but he lives right next door to me. But we haven't seen each other probably in about 3 weeks. He lives right next door to me. But he's like my, you know, a real good friend of mine. I guess he's my best friend. He's the only friend I got. Just kidding. But sometimes we don't talk for a long, 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 long time, and then all of a sudden we'll see each other. Hey, you know, and then we're just like best, you know, just back to normal. But because we're not working on our relationship, because I already know he's my friend. God said he was, so that's good enough for me. God said Leah was my wife. That's good enough for me. I mean, I don't need any explanation or need to figure out how to make it work or anything like that. I just got to know God is it. Pastor Jim's my pastor, then that's what he said. Then I don't ever worry about it. I've never once, can't remember ever, not one time ever calling Pastor Jim on the phone. I can't remember. Well, maybe to meet somewhere or something like that, but never to talk or anything like that about a problem or anything. Because you know why? Because I'll hear him speak, but that's just hearing Jim know, unless God has already told me something. But then I take his message, then I take it home with me, and then I study it and pray about it and all those kind of things, even though most of the time I know it's right because I've already done the homework. But still, and then that's it. Why would I ever call him, or why would I ever need counseling? I mean, I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying we all have our own relationship with the Lord, and God does everything for us, in us, and through us. Right? So you don't need anybody to teach you, because the Holy Ghost teaches you all things. So when you come to church, you should already know everything that the pastor's going to talk about. Might not be word, you know what I'm talking about. Like yesterday when Jim met me, he didn't have his luggage in the car yet. He was putting his luggage in the car. I was helping him, and he was already going, oh, this morning God showed me blah 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 blah, and he started going on and on and on and on and on. And I was thinking to myself, wow, that's awesome, because God was showing me the same thing, except it was a totally different verse, and you know, it was totally different in the way it was presented, but it was the same thing. Kind of like Jesus, you know, he talked about the kingdom of God. He might be talking about seeds 1 minute, then 1 minute he's talking about servants, then he's talking about money, then he's talking about, you know, he's saying the same thing, but he's just presenting it a different way so people can get it. All these parables. Then he talks about sowing the seed, and he talks about, you know, all different things. But here, listen to this. I just want to read this one. In Matthew chapter 22, I want to read this one parable. Okay, this is about a marriage dinner. In Matthew, the later chapters, before he went to the cross, he told a lot of parables and a lot of stories about the kingdom of God, what the kingdom of God was like. So, really, to understand God, you really need to understand his kingdom. This is an eternal kingdom, like I said before, and you are that kingdom. You are part of that kingdom. You are kings and priests. You are royalty. Royalty. You guys are all royal.
Hallelujah.
That means, because the meek are going to inherit the earth. The humble, the meek, the poor in spirit are going to see the kingdom of God, are going to hear the kingdom of God, and only you can see it. People in the world can see fruit, but they can never see the king, really see the kingdom like you can, because you're part of the kingdom. You're in the kingdom. You know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the world doesn't. So all they're going to see is fruit. They'll know you by your fruit, by your love for one another and all that stuff, but they won't see the kingdom like you will. Unless they repent and change their mind. Okay, so listen to this. This is talking about us. The kingdom of heaven is like, this is verse 2, it's like a certain king which made a marriage for his son, that's Jesus, and he's actually talking about the Jews, and he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them what you're bidden. You know, tell them to come. Behold, I prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come into the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his medicine. Merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, mistreated him spitefully and slew him. They even killed him, Jesus. But when the king heard thereof, or the prophets, he was wroth and sent his armies and destroyed those murders and burned up their city. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. Bring them all in. So those servants went out in highways and gathered together all as many as they found. That's you. God found you in his mercy. Both bad and good. In other words, the bad are the wicked. The good are the hypocrites. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And then the king came to see the guests, and he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. He wasn't one of his. He wasn't born again. He didn't have his robe of righteousness on. And he said to him, friend. Notice he called him friend. How comest thou in here and having no wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into the outer darkness where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. So Jesus told many parables like this. This kingdom, don't make light of it. Don't think that it's not everything. It is. It's everything. It might not seem like it, but this kingdom that God made, that put on this earth, it's a kingdom that's not of this world, and it's the kingdom of God is in you. But don't make light of it. As a matter of fact, every day, be prepared, because Jesus could come back. He could call in. He could say, "Okay, the wedding's ready. Let's go." And so, be a wise virgin is another parable. I mean, there's tons of them. There's like tons of parables about this kingdom, and these people made light of it. And they're too busy. There's another parable that talks about how they, I can't come because, you know, oxen, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and I'm doing all this other stuff. So, you know, please excuse me. God, I can't be a part of your kingdom because I'm too busy in this life doing this and doing that and trying to figure this out and trying to figure that out. So I don't know how I could ever be in the kingdom of God. But that's not true. God's kingdom is everything. It's the only thing, like I said before, it's the only thing that'll last. It's the only thing that's eternal. It's the only thing that soon, real soon, when Jesus sets up his kingdom, really sets it. I mean, it's already set up because it's in us. But when this kingdom comes on earth, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, you know, we're praying that bowl. Every book of Revelation, there's a bowl up there, and it has all the prayers of the saints in there. And they're like, that thing's going to overflow one of these days because of you guys. Because we're praying, God, please, you know, come back, help us. Because in this world, we have trouble. We have trouble. And we're rejoicing, but still, you know, we're human. So there's an element of you know, there's something like a Lot had. What's that word I'm looking for? His righteous soul was being kind of agonized because of all the sin and all the stuff that was going on. That's kind of like us. We, even though we're happy all the time, we're rejoicing, we're, you know, one of the king's kids, and, you know, everything's going great. Not everything's going great, but you know what I mean. Oh, you ever see that song? Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I have a wonderful feeling. Everything's going my way. Well, that's us. It is. Everything's going our way. But you have to see it. Because His kingdom, it doesn't come by observation. So you're not going to see it. You might see evidence of it. You'll see somebody get healed or see a demon cast out or see fruit in your life. Love, joy, peace, meekness, goodness, temperance, self-control, faithfulness, and all those things come out of your life. But joy, unspeakable and full of glory and all that. But still, it's with that. You can't hardly tell right now. But like that brother was talking about earlier, which is really cool, is that you just keep spending time with the Lord. Just keep, don't give up.
Amen.
Just keep spending your time with the Lord. Keep reading your Bible. Keep praying. Keep coming to church. As you see the day approaching, I mean, we should meet. You know, we meet on Wednesday nights at our house. We have a house church, and then we meet Sunday morning, Sunday night at our church in Fort Worth. And I go to, and then we meet with Pastor Jim. And I came to your group Thursday morning one time. And I'm going to try to make it there more often too, because I want to just spend more time with the body of Christ. I want to spend more time because the day's approaching. It says, as you see the day approaching, don't neglect the meeting. You know, don't neglect the meeting with the brethren. Don't neglect fellowship with other believers, because that helps. I don't know exactly why, but it does. Because it says it does in the Bible. See, that's one thing about being a Christian. You don't have to ask a lot of questions. And I've always been like that. I don't know why, but I never don't have a lot of questions about stuff. I just think, well, it says that, so that must be the way God wants it. And if I'm not doing it, there must be something wrong with me, not with God. So I want to repent, change my mind, and I want to conform to this. I don't want this to conform to me. I have a brother, I don't want to tell you how deep, but some circumstances in his life happened and it's with his son and all this stuff. So he totally changed his whole theology. I mean, his whole doctrine, everything, because of that one situation. Instead of saying, you know, instead of sticking with this Bible, instead of sticking with the Word of God, instead of, you know, being conformed to this word, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Instead of that, he decided, well, I'm going to go with this because it's easier and it'll justify everything. So that's just the way it is. You can, but everything in this Bible is true. It's easy. It's just, it's true. And to conform yourself to this Bible, not keeping it. I'm not even trying to do it or keep it or trying to do anything. I'm just reading it. All you got to do is read it. And then it'll come. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It'll just come. I don't know how it does it. I just read it over and over again. Don't I, Lee? I read it a lot. I read it over and over again. The same. As a matter of fact, I read the same thing. I just want to share this so that maybe you could do, you know, I just read it, just, you know, just the way it is. Sometimes I don't even look up the Greek or anything. I just read it, and then I read it again, and then I read it again. The same thing, same old stuff. It's the same story. It's the same stuff. But then every time I get something different out of it. Every time God speaks to me, every time I'm just shocked.
Oh, yeah.
I read the scripture 200 times. I can't believe that's now I understand it. Because of some other scripture was connected with it, or Jim said something, or somebody said something, and it totally changes everything. So your life is hid with Christ and God.
Praise the Lord.
And you've been changed, transferred out of a kingdom into a brand new kingdom, and you're a brand new creation. I don't know if you guys understand that, but you are a new creature.
Amen.
You are brand new. Never has anybody been like you, ever. Because you now you're in Jesus. Jesus has, in the born again you, inside of you, is Christ in you. The new creation in you is Christ in you. It's not you apart from Jesus, or, you know, I don't know how to explain it. Where you, God just kind of zapped you with a wand and you became a new person. Like the world thinks, that man at his best state. No, it's not that at all. It's not even close to that. It is way better. He came to live his life in you and through you. And that's what you were created for. You were created to have fellowship, to be exactly like God. Not you imitating God, but God actually coming and living his life in you. You'll never imitate Christ, ever. I mean, don't even try. That's a wasted effort. Don't imitate Christ. Just let Christ live his life in you and through you. You die, he lives. Your life, he totally did everything for you. He lived his life for you. He died for you. He rose again for you. He's seated at the right hand of the Father for you. He did everything, everything for you and for me, so that we would have life and have life abundantly. But now, not someday when you go to heaven or when Jesus comes back. Go ahead and start now rejoicing. Go ahead and start now having fun. It is fun to be a Christian, because you never, from day to day, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know who's going to have a problem you're going to have to help out with. You don't know what's going to happen to you. You don't know anything. But it's good to know, you know, that Jesus loves us and he's taking care of us. That's all you got to know. If you know just one thing, then stick with that until God shows you something else. Don't try to be smart or to be like Pastor Jim or to be some guru kind of thing. Just whatever God showed you, just walk in that. And then if he shows you something else, that way you're not sweating. I know, all I know is Jesus loves me. But that's good enough. That's good enough. And then God will show you something else. And he'll show you something else. And he'll show you something. You don't have to ever worry. Just keep reading the Bible. Keep reading the Bible. And reading the promises. And they're all in there. Even how old you'll be. If you want to live 70 years, you want to live 80 years. And I don't know about after that. Has anybody read a scripture that's older than that? There's a scripture in Psalms that says that you would live to be, God promised you 70 years and 80 if by strength. Does anybody know one that's any longer than that? Because I was asking God that question. There was one question I was asking. God, how come people live past 80? I don't get it. Because you only promise, well, maybe because, I don't know. So I haven't figured it out yet. It's not that big of a deal. I don't even care if he tells me. I'm not that interested in it. But I just thought it was kind of curious why people live past 80. But you guys don't know, so you guys are no help at all. I'm just teasing. Well, what time is it? Is it time to quit?
10:40.
Yeah, but I got to get back to Fort Worth. Anyway, let's pray. Thank you for everybody, Alex, and thank you for sharing. That was really good. And maybe I'll see you guys over here again. Hopefully I'll be to the men's Bible study. That's a pretty good one. A lot of guys show up at that thing on Thursday morning. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God that has a kingdom. And that kingdom has no end. That kingdom is—it's right now, but we don't see everything. But you, nonetheless, you made a promise, and you have given us a deposit, a down payment. You've given us the Holy Spirit to teach us, and you've also baptized us with fire, so that everything that is not of you would be burned off, and that our faith would be pure as gold. Like it says in Peter, Father, you said that our faith would be as pure gold and our garments as white as snow, and that we would be a people unto you, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people set apart just for this time, this hour, this day. These are the best of times, the best. They're absolutely the best times to be alive, because you picked us. I don't know how you did it, but you picked us to be alive right now, so it's a good time. And we love you, and we thank you for being so good to us, for loving us. Thank you that we have no law to follow. We have no anything. We're just led by the Spirit. We're just trusting the Lord that we love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and we love our neighbor as ourself, and that we would be salt and light in this world, because you promised we would. And we have no ability, strength, wherewithal to do that, but you do. So do it in us and through us, so that the world would see that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He is the Savior of this world. Father, we thank you for that. Bless these people. Thank you that they are blessed, and they have peace and joy, unspeakable and full of glory. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good.
I'd like to share.
Okay.
When you read this verse out of Matthew, that was the very section yesterday afternoon that the Lord showed me. So, as far as I know, that's three of us. And this morning, I know
Matthew 22?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, about the garment.
Amen.
The way I got there was a study I was doing about the garment. There was something about that garment that the Lord was having me dig into. And I've been very busy. I've been distracted by a lot of things and so forth. And I know we've all been through that a lot from time to time. So this morning, I know it was this morning because I had awakened earlier and, you know, fell back asleep early in the morning. And I had a dream. And the dream involved a lot of people that I really didn't know. But I felt like I sort of knew these people. I felt like we had some kind of a relationship. And they knew me. And we were in a crowd and we were in a building, and it seemed like it was we were in preparation for a wedding. And we were getting, you know, dressed and ready for this wedding that we were going to in a different location. And I was trying to get myself ready, and things kept happening, and people kept pulling me aside and this and that, and I found myself looking for something, and where's my such and such, and I can't find this, and I'm just, you know, all scattered out. And then somebody comes and says, there's somebody at the door that wants to talk to you. And I said, I can't, I'm busy, I got to get ready. No, you have to go. So I go to the door, and these people come in. I didn't know who these people were. They knew me. There were two black ladies, and one was about 8 feet tall.
Wow.
And they were beautiful people. And the other one was about 12 feet tall. And they greeted me, and they told me they had something for me, and they handed this to me, but I was in such a rush, I wasn't paying any attention to it. Now, I don't know that I have the perfect interpretation of this dream for you today, and I'm telling you this because the Lord's trying to tell me something, and I believe He's trying to tell us something. It's not about my works. As that dream progressed, people began to leave for this wedding, and I wasn't dressed and ready. I wasn't prepared, and I looked in the mirror, and my hair was, I had hair actually at this time.
That is a dream, huh?
I almost took my head on this robe, and I thought, you know, I can't go like this. And everybody was leaving, and I realized I didn't know how to get there. I didn't have the address, I didn't have the location, and everybody who knew how to get there had already gone. And then I woke up. Now, it didn't convict me or bother me. I just thought, well, that's weird. But here I was studying the same chapter about the garment, and here I was having this dream. And I know that one of the things that the Lord is showing me is that the most important thing, as Danny pointed out today, is that we have to spend time with Him. That has to come first.
Amen.
Because all these other things will get in the way. And it says that the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches come in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And I've allowed that to happen. I know we all have, but I've allowed that to happen. And it's easy. Particularly in the world we live in, I'm self-employed. I've got clients and business and kids and this and that.
Oh, yeah.
And I just thought that, wow, that's so cool. But then today He showed me that my garment is actually, by faith, His garment. Because I'm in Him and He's in me. And in Daniel it talks about Him as showing up as the, in this glowing garment of light. Mm-hmm. That's my garment.
Amen.
I don't need another garment except Him. But I forget that because I get distracted by these other pressures of life. So praise God.
Amen.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
and there's a scripture, to go along with that, there's a scripture in Revelation where it talks about the lukewarm church. And it says, I wish you would, he gives those, after they repent, after he says to repent, he says, he's going to put eye salve on, and he's going to give you, and he's going to give you this robe or this garment. And but it's something that garment is actually righteousness, but it's actually, like he was saying, it's actually God's righteousness, not ours. It's something that he gives us as a promise, and it's fine. I studied it out a little bit, and it's like a fine linen garment. I don't even know what linen looks like really, but it's so fine that it's breathable. So there's no sweat. There's no striving, there's no nothing. It's just, the priests wore that when they went into the temple. That garment, when they went into the Holy of Holies, that white garment that was, it was so fine, they made it so fine that you couldn't sweat, or because God didn't want anybody to sweat or to work in His presence. And that's the garment He's giving. He's given us His righteousness, and that garment is actually, that's what it is, because it says in the book of Revelation, it says that it's a white garment, and it's His righteousness. Which is gift, a sheer gift. And I just believe it, and man, it's awesome. God is good.